Being half in and half out of our world, ghosts are a bit easier for us to see and hear than spirits, who have made the transition to the other side and have to change dimensions in order to materialize. I've been investigating hauntings for the past 40 years, and I've met and talked to a lot of ghosts. There is a detailed discussion of my work with hauntings in my book, The Other Side and Back, but I'll capsulize a few encounters here to make a significant point. The two most common reasons why ghosts reject the tunnel and refuse to move on are passion, either love or hate, and fear. A century before mental health facilities were expected to treat their patients humanely, a woman named Coleman locked her husband in the basement of their house to keep him safe when he went insane and took care of him with great love and tenderness until he died. She died soon after he did, and sadly, while he made the transition to the other side immediately, she stays in that house to this day in the deluded belief that her husband is still there needing her. It's rare for a revenge suicide to remain earthbound, as we'll discuss in the upcoming section about suicides, but I have seen it. One client's abusive stepfather had very deliberately lain down on his wife's side of the bed and blown his brains out, knowing that his wife and stepdaughter were on their way home and were guaranteed to be the ones to find him. His passion for control and intimidation kept him in that house for months, frightening and threatening his stepdaughter through what she thought were dreams, until her biological father intervened from the other side to retrieve him from this dimension. Sometimes, obviously, a spirit will reject the tunnel out of love for home or land in which they have a lot of passion or family history invested. But I have never met a ghost who stayed behind out of an attachment to a car or a piece of jewelry or an article of designer clothing. It's a good lesson in perspective that when we leave our bodies, the material things we've accumulated in our lives become laughably trivial. Whether it takes a year or 100 years, ghosts eventually do embrace the tunnel and the light of the other side. Again, the biggest hurdle is convincing them that they're dead. I was explaining to a particularly ornery ghost once, in a calm, logical manner, exactly how she died and what the signs were that could lead her to a reasonable conclusion that she was dead, including the fact that I was the first person she'd met in years who could see and hear her. And she glared back and demanded, "How do I know you're not dead?" My first thought was defensive, "Because clearly I'm alive, you idiot." But then I realized that's exactly how she and other ghosts feel when someone says, "Excuse me, but you're dead." So I simply said, "Good question," and changed the subject. It's worth mentioning, by the way, if you or your children are able to see ghosts and spirits with relative ease, there is one very simple tip-off as to which you're looking at. When my son Chris was a small child, he routinely saw and played with spirits and angels, including his spirit guide, Charlie. Since I had similar experiences during my childhood, I didn't give it much thought. One of his favorite spirit playmates was a little boy named Joey, who seemed to have particularly touched Chris's heart. One day I asked Chris to tell me about Joey. In the course of the conversation, he sadly came out with, "Mama, Joey's all burned." That was the day I explained ghosts to my son and the importance of our loving them enough to encourage them to go home, no matter how much we might miss them. How did I immediately know from that one comment that Joey was a ghost? Because if he were a spirit visiting from the other side, there would have been no burns or injuries on him at all. I'm happy to report that between Chris and me, we were able to urge Joey safely to the light, and my son understood and loved him enough to be joyful as he said goodbye. No spirit is exiled from the other side throughout eternity, no matter how hard they might try. Not even the spirits who make up another exceptions to the divine journey through the tunnel. These spirits choose to turn away from God and, devoid of his loving light, live on the dark side. The dark side are Earth's true sociopaths, remorseless, immoral, valuing no life but their own. They see the rest of humanity as a vast sea of pawns to be played with, used, manipulated, and in some form or other destroyed. Their destruction might be actual murder, or it might take the more insidious form of physical, emotional, or mental abuse. But the only way darkness can survive is to extinguish light. So the dark side feels entitled to whatever destruction they resort to. The dark side are the criminals, in the eyes of the law, or simply of decent society, who can't be rehabilitated. Rehabilitation implies that the person started out habilitated or had a social conscience to begin with. Among the dark side, nothing could be further from the truth. It would be convenient if the dark side would segregate itself, or wear matching outfits, or be born with horns and little pitchforks. But sadly, they're everywhere, looking like everyone else. They can enter your life as a parent, a child, a sibling, a spouse, a boss, a friend, a lover, or even a political, religious, or spiritual leader you sincerely believe has the best interests of humanity at heart. The dark side can make themselves sound like God's closest personal friend if they think it will help disarm you. The truth, though, is that the dark side rejects God so completely that his constant unconditional love has no impact on them. It is without question the most tragic, unrequited love there is, with the most tragic, long-lasting consequences. When a person on the dark side dies, their spirit never experiences a tunnel and the sacred light at its end. Instead, they immediately go through the other side's left door, or as my 6-year-old granddaughter Angelia says, mean heaven. Inside the left door is an abyss of dark, godless, empty, joyless, all-encompassing nothingness. The only permanent residents of this abyss are faceless beings in hooded cloaks, who have become the archetypes for the scythe-bearing death figure and other characters of utter hopelessness throughout art and literary history. These beings function as a council, overseeing the paths of the souls who make a brief appearance in their presence. And the soul's time in the abyss behind the left door is very brief, because unlike those spirits on the other side who can choose when and whether to return to earth for another incarnation, left door spirits travel straight from their bodies at death through the godless darkness they've chosen, and right back into utero again on a self-inflicted horseshoe-shaped journey that leaves them as dark at birth as they were at death in their previous life. In other words, taking Hitler as a perfect example of the dark side. The instant he died, his spirit traveled through the left door and entered the womb of some unsuspecting woman who is probably still wondering to this day where she went wrong as a parent. When the truth is, the dark course of this child's life was already determined before it was born. So if there's someone in your life from the dark side whom you're convinced you can change for the better with enough love and patience, please remember that you're fighting a perpetual soul cycle that makes spiritual progress impossible, and that's a fight you can't win. Every living spirit, including those on the dark side, is a child of God and loved by Him unconditionally, whether that love is returned or not. And God will not allow any of His children to be doomed to the dark side's horseshoe cycle for any eternity. Just as the spirits on the other side eventually bring ghosts home, they also, in an act of courage and compassion that may take hundreds of years, will finally manage to catch a dark spirit in that moment before it reaches the left door and absorb it into the healing peace of God's light where it belongs.